Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy B and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
All right, everybody, we are back. Exactly. That's the way I feel about it. Cody Peck, BC Divide, will be coming up on the Cyclones this hour, along with Ken Silverstein, Big Ten Conference Insider. Trent, we got NFL Thursday Night Football, Arizona-Seattle tonight. You got a feel on this game or not?
Not a great one. It's, you know, Seattle, after the way they looked last week against Washington, as fun as the week before was in their victory against Houston and what proved to be Deshaun Watson's final game of the season. And then they come back sloppy. Was it 16 penalties, something like that?
Yes, terrible.
It's Thursday Night Football on top of it, which can be brutal. I'll be honest, I'm not excited at all for this thing. I'm really not. I don't have a feel. Arizona's bad. Adrian Peterson had that one good game, but still an offensive line that's aging. It'll be Drew Stanton at the quarterback position. I'll be honest, it's difficult to get excited. Now, if we had a healthy Arizona team and David Johnson was out there and the defense that we saw the last couple of years, yeah, I'd be pumped up for this one. It's difficult, though. I'm not real excited.
Okay, fair enough. But that game does immediately follow our show tonight.
What
on
a
the
promo
Big
for that,
1700. Well, yeah, I know. I mean, that's a great promo. You sold it big time, pal. You really sold it.
Well, you didn't really have to go down that alley after I sold it so poorly. But if you're stuck in the car and you're looking for something to listen to. So that's what I had
there
on the way back last night as I was making my drive back from Cedar Rapids and calling state volleyball all day long. I get back, and as I'm rolling through, and I listen to a podcast for a while, and let's see what's on the radio. And I happened across a little action last night. Some station in Ohio. What would be a big station out there that even be having that? Do you have any idea? You know, old school radio.
KBNS is a big one in Columbus, but they're the Ohio State station, so they wouldn't be carrying that. So I don't know. Did you pick somebody out of Cleveland?
Could have been. I never got call letters or anything like that. I stuck with it, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, was listening to the Bobcats get the victory last night.
Oh, sure. But
yeah, I thought that was – I always like finding random stuff like that. I'm such a AM fan, and when you have those long drives in front of you and you're by yourself and you're just not a whole lot to keep you occupied and got to stay off the phone, you know how dangerous that can be. So you don't want to be doing that. And I just happened across that and a little bit of fun. You know a station I used to pick up all the time is the New Orleans station. And I remember listening to games throughout the evening down there. There, San Antonio as well. A couple of huge stations down in those areas. And, yeah, just driving around, being able to pick those up usually late in the evening. And those are a couple of stations that have got me home in the past as well.
San Antonio, I think, is WOI. I think that's the call letters of that station. I was also, while we're doing a little NFL talk here, big news if you're a Dallas Cowboy fan, because Ezekiel Elliott's petition to continue to play was denied today. So that means he's got one day to see if his team can fire up another petition to see if they can get a stay to see if he can play. Otherwise, the six-game suspension kicks in, Trent.
So you have a handle on this because didn't we have this whole thing a week ago? And then it came back, and all of a sudden, by Friday, Zeke was playing. Is it over? I don't know. I don't know enough about the legal world to know if this thing is officially over to you.
I don't know if they can just keep filing every week to do this, and then the week after it gets turned down and denied. The legal system is so convoluted you can never figure it out anyway. But when it comes to something like this, I don't know. I guess that if he doesn't play in this game this weekend, I think I'm correct here. I think then the entire six-game suspension stays intact.
Gotcha.
I don't think he can sit one and then have them put another stay in, and it would be, hit or miss the entire time. I think if they're going to react, they have to react immediately before Sunday.
Interesting, yeah. It is crazy. So you got Alfred Morris back there, Darren McFadden. I don't think McFadden has anything left in the tank. Rod Smith's the other running back that they have. But the Cowboys are playing a lot better. And with the way that Dak has been playing, you see the improvement that he has made, where a year ago it was a lot of reliance on the running game. I think the Cowboys are still good enough. I don't think they're going to chase down the Eagles, but at the very least, to be a playoff team in the NFC, even without Zeke, this team certainly can get to 10-6 this year.
Oh, I think so. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, and the way that they're playing right now, look, Dak Prescott put on a heck of a show in the second half. He really did. By the way, that made it for me to finish on the winning side once again for another week in our little betting thing that you and I have going on.
Oh, you had another winning week, huh, Jimmy B?
I did, yes, at 3-2.
You had Ohio State, Iowa State, both losses, and then he won with Oklahoma, LSU, and Dallas. Well, here's the thing that kills you, Jimmy B. So you go 3-2, that's a .600 winning percentage. But with that, you actually went down in terms of your winning percentage. That's how good you've been. You get 60% right, and you go down in percentage. Must be nice being Jimmy B.
Yeah, it's good to be me, Trent. I keep telling you that. It's not bad.
I guess. Gambling picks from Jimmy B. Coming up tomorrow, we will cap off the program with that. Still today, a lot to come. Coming up next, we're talking Cyclones. Cody Peck will join us, bcdivide.com. Also, Ken Silverstein on the Big Ten. All to come on the Big Talker 1700.
Hey, it's Tiki Barber.
And Brandon Tierney.
We are Tiki and Tierney, giving you the big scoop on all the games. Afternoons on the Big Talker 1700 KBGG. Boom.
If you're sick and tired of the same old delivery options, I have an idea for you. It's Food Dudes Delivery. Food Dudes Delivery delivers for restaurants that normally don't deliver food. And with over 50 restaurants across the metro, Food Dudes Delivery can find whatever you're craving. And for listeners of Jimmy B and TC, $2 off any order of $20 or more. Just use the coupon code JBTC. That's JBTC for $2 off your next order of $20 or more. Food Dudes Delivery. Online, Food Dudes Delivery.
Sponsored by Firestone Complete Auto Care. Come into Firestone Complete Auto Care and get $60 on a Firestone Visa prepaid card by mail when you purchase a set of four eligible Firestone tires. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Kevin Kugler and Tony Baselli here from Westwood One with a preview of Thursday Night Football, brought to you by Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry. Turning feelings into jewelry. That's why he went to Jared. From the Arizona desert, we're set to bring you NFC West action between the Cardinals and the Seattle Seahawks. Tony?
Kevin, we're at the halfway point for both these teams. They're both looking up at the Los Angeles Rams. We're at 6-2. This makes this a huge NFC West matchup. The Seahawks are coming off a devastating loss where they gave up a late lead to the Washington Redskins, and they're looking to rebound. They can't make the mistakes they made last week. They face the Arizona Cardinals, who are coming off a big win against the 49ers. Adrian Peterson was the workhorse with 159 yards. They're going to need the same type of effort to take the pressure off Drew Stanton.
All right, Tony, looking forward to it. Seattle at Arizona on Thursday Night Football.
Remember to listen to Westwood One's coverage of the NFL all season long. Right here on the Big Talker, 1700 KBGG.
Napa Know How.
Making your budget last longer than it should is an accomplishment, but making motor oil last longer than it should? Dangerous. Lucky for you, Pennzoil Full Synthetic is only $4.99 a quart. Its long-lasting formula and low price can help your engine and your wallet go farther. Pennzoil Full Synthetic for $4.99. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer ends 12/31/17.
Let's see here. Fire protection?
Check.
Uniforms, mats, and restroom products?
Check.
First aid cabinets and safety products?
Check.
Great! So it sounds like we're ready to go.
No. When I said check, I meant we still need to check on all those things.
Just call Cintas. They can handle all of it. It's what they do.
Okay. Call Cintas. Check. I mean, got it.
Oh, I'm ready!
Learn how Cintas can help you get ready for the workday. Visit Cintas.com.
Guys, are you ready to begin your journey to live life better? Are you feeling tired and worn down, or looking to improve performance and drive in the bedroom? Looking to burn fat and gain muscle? Then it's time to contact New Leaf Wellness. New Leaf Wellness offers a free, no-obligation consultation. Dr. Robert Seaman and the New Leaf staff will help craft a plan dedicated to you. From testosterone replacement therapy, advanced weight loss, to nutritional therapy, New Leaf Wellness strives to find the plan that will improve your quality of life. Dr. Robert Seaman and New Leaf Wellness, give them a call today at 515-650-1358. Again, 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. One more time, 515-650-1358. It's time to live life better with New Leaf Wellness. Call 515-650-1358. That's 515-650-1358.
Black & Cardinal Divide is the first website dedicated to the Cy-Hawk rivalry. We cover both the Hawkeyes and the Cyclones.
This is Cody, and I cover Iowa State.
And I'm Derek, his younger brother, who covers the Hawkeyes.
We'd like to encourage you to jump over to bcdivide.com. Tune in Wednesdays and Thursday nights as we will talk all things Cyclones and Hawkeyes.
Jump over to bcdivide.com. Join us for daily banter and our social media pages at bcdivide. As brothers and fans of different teams, we grew up with a heated Cy-Hawk rivalry within our own family.
Join us at bcdivide.com to embrace the rivalry.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we believe in honest work, a fair price, and work we stand behind, and our 10-year workmanship warranty proves it. We know roofing. With our one-day get-it-done approach, we're known as a roofing machine. Call Wolf Construction for a free estimate at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. At Wolf Construction, we take your roof personally.
Villaggio Italian Restaurant brings real homemade Italian to you. Fantastic food, great service, and an elegant vibe that feels like home. All your favorites from the original in Norwalk and an expanded menu with the newest location on 100th Street in Urbandale. Plus, one of the best happy hours in the metro from 3 to 6 each weekday. When you're thinking Italian, make it Villaggio. Pizza, pasta, sandwiches, and more. Two locations, Sunset Drive in Norwalk and 100th Street in Urbandale. Villaggio Italian Restaurant.
Sports talk that rocks. This is Jimmy B and DC on Des Moines' big station for sports, 1700 KBGG.
And welcome back, everybody. We continue all the way till 6 o'clock tonight, right here on the Big Talker, 1700. BC Divide. Cody Peck and his brother, one is a Cyclone, the other is a Hawkeye. We will speak to Cody today. He is Cyclone Boy. Cody, how are you, man? You ready for Oklahoma State?
I'm excited for the game on Saturday, gentlemen. It's going to be a big game for these seniors that are closing out their career at Iowa State. So I'm excited that we get to bring in Oklahoma State, so we've had some good luck with in the past at home, and I'm beyond excited for the game. Sounds like the weather's going to be a little iffy, but the crowd at Jack Trice should be ready to go.
Well, an iffy weather situation, maybe that works out pretty well. Remember TCU making the trek up and the offense and Kenny Hill certainly didn't travel with them. Oklahoma State, all that speed that they have around the field offensively. Bad weather, probably not a bad thing for Iowa State.
Oh, definitely not. You know, I think we're going to really utilize the David Montgomery train on Saturday, guys. It's going to be somebody that we got to get going early and often. This team really struggled against West Virginia coming off the bus. You know, they just really didn't get off to a good start. And one credit to the defense is that, you know, Iowa State's only allowed, I believe, you know, 24, 27 points in the second half of games to their opponents so far this year through six Big 12 games. And had they just gotten off a little bit quicker start in that West Virginia game, you know, things would have been a little bit different. And I think that's going to be crucial come Saturday against Oklahoma State is come out ready to go, let the emotions of senior day kind of subside early and often and get out and get on a roll early and you know, just really put this Oklahoma State team behind early, and I think it's going to be something that can work in our advantage as we proceed through the game.
All right, let me fire this at you then. Trent and I talked a little bit about this earlier this week, and that was the play of the quarterback, Kemp. Now is there a big enough book on him that defenses have been able to make adjustments to figure him out? And is that why, or at least one of the reasons, why the offense is sputtering at this time?
Yeah, Jimmy, you know, that's an interesting thing that you and Trent talked about with Kyle. You know, that obviously the more games you play at quarterback, the more eyes you're going to have on you from a standpoint when these teams are watching game film throughout the week and, you know, leading up to these games. And, Kyle just needs to settle in. He's getting a lot of different defensive coverages sent his way. West Virginia did a great job coming off the edge with pressure. Obviously, with our replacement offensive tackle on Saturday, that didn't help matters any. He really struggled early in that game. Settled in and then, turned things around the second half a little bit. But, Kyle really relies upon his offensive line. And being able to run the football is something that's going to help Kyle throughout the game on Saturday. And Montgomery didn't get off to a good start against West Virginia. So, one of the things that we can really hope on Saturday that Iowa State can take the pressure off of Kemp's shoulders like they did against TCU and Oklahoma is relying on the running game. I think that will help out a lot with Kyle's nerves heading into this game Saturday.
As you go through, Cody, and a look back at last week, you mentioned the struggles offensively early on. Doesn't feel like this is one where you can afford a bad half of football. You're going to have to put some points on the board. And we talk so much about Mason Rudolph, but this is still a team that goes out there and can run the football at a high level as well. Justice Hill, the leading rusher right now in the Big 12, had a monster performance himself a week ago with 228 against the Sooners. So it's not just what they do throwing the football. This is a balanced offense, and Iowa State can't afford for that offense to get off to another slow start.
No, you're absolutely right, Trent. Hill's over 1,000 yards on the season, as you mentioned, leading the Big 12 in rushing yards. A buck 85 or so ahead of David Montgomery. And, everybody knows about James Washington on the outside for Oklahoma State. So it's good that you mentioned, Justice Hill in the backfield. He's a hell of a ball player at running back, and he's going to be relied upon heavily on Saturday. It sounds like James Washington's pretty banged up. He comes into the game Saturday questionable, and they're definitely going to rely on him, with the weather going to be iffy as well. We could expect to see a full dose of Justice Hill offensively for this Oklahoma State for sure.
So are you saying then that you believe this will not be a high-scoring game, not a game in the 40s because of weather conditions and of some injury factors?
Jimmy, one of the things that with the scoring-wise for Iowa State, they've held every team they've played in the Big 12 so far 10 or more points below their season average in a game. So I fully expect this game to be much lower scoring than what Vegas is predicting right now. I think the total is hovering around 61, 62, and I think that they'll put up some points on us, but I really think it's going to be a 27-24, 31-28 type game. I do tend to like the under in this game, Jimmy, and it's something to where Iowa State's defense has really got to come out and continue to do what they've done so far this season through Big 12 play.
Well, at 6 wins, we know bowl eligibility is there, but there's still a lot out there, and a win against Oklahoma State would put them right back in the driver's seat to still make their way to the Big 12 championship game. All they have to do, it starts with the win against Oklahoma State, but then Baylor and K-State. We know K-State's been a house of horrors throughout the years, but it's all in front of them right now. If they can get these victories, they can still be playing in Dallas. Is the fan base still have that belief?
I think that, some people have kind of lost track of that, to be honest with you, Trent. And you're absolutely right. Looking at the division standings right now, Iowa State controls their own destiny. They got a huge matchup between OU and TCU this weekend that's going to put one of those teams with two losses in the conference. And regardless of who that is, Iowa State holds the head-to-head over that team, having beaten both Oklahoma and TCU. So it's a huge game for Iowa State's chances to make it to Dallas and to play in that Big 12 championship game. And, looking at the schedule trend, it's something where West Virginia's got a tough end of their season. And really, Oklahoma State, if they can sneak by Iowa State, then you can bet, Trent, that they're going to be playing in Dallas for sure. So this game is huge from the Cyclone perspective.
It definitely is, no question about that. Okay, take me to a little basketball, because tomorrow Iowa State Hoopers are in Missouri, and no Cameron Laird. Have you been able to determine why Laird will not be on the roster other than Steve Prohm saying, well, he's getting there. He's been really good in practice, but he's getting there, yet he is not on the trip?
I wish I could tell you I knew what was going on, Jimmy, but unfortunately I cannot. It's just been everything that's been reported so far to the media has just been coach's decision. So I wish I had some more information for you guys on the Cameron Laird situation. It does sound like Lewis is going to make the trip with the team. I did see that the line came out today. It looks like Missouri opened up as a 2.5-point favorite. There was some talk around the message boards that Iowa State was actually favored and at one point, but that quickly changed to Missouri being favored by 2.5 now. And this Missouri club is loaded. You know, they have the McDonald's All-American, the number one rated basketball player in the country coming into this season before Duke snagged up, you know, the other gentleman. And it's going to be a tough matchup for Iowa State. I think I read this morning that we've won 19 straight season openers coming into this matchup against Missouri. Now, we typically don't play, you know, tough competition like this. And the last season opening loss was to the United Panthers back in 1997, I believe. And we've got a tough matchup tomorrow night, gentlemen. It's going to be a test of Steve Prohm and his young team for sure.
And Missouri really struggled a season ago. Still a lot of experience back from that team. And you mentioned Michael Porter Jr., his younger brother, who reclassified to be part of this class. It's certainly a different environment over there and going to be a difficult spot. You know, you mentioned Cameron Laird not traveling, and this is a guy that was well-traveled himself. There were questions, was he ever going to show up? We finally see him. He's around for the second semester, ends up redshirting last year, showed up a little bit in summer league. But you know, do you have any feeling what's going on here? Is it just, you know, Steve Prohm just trying to relay the message that he's trying to get to Cameron Laird right now?
I think that's probably the case with Cameron. It's really tough to say. I know that there's probably a little bit more to it than what, you know, obviously the public and the media is being told. But, you know, the brunt of the season, it's not about these early games. I mean, these can be crucial come NCAA tournament time when we're trying to get to 20 wins. But ultimately what Steve Prohm wants out of Cameron is a tough ball player come Big 12 play. And so him sitting out games early on this season, I'm not surprised, no, but I sure would like to find out some more information as to what's going on, if there's more to it than just Coach Prohm, you know, kind of holding him out on his own will.
Okay, Hans Brace is also not going to see any action, although he has been practicing and running full court. Any indication on when Brace might finally get into the game?
It sounds like he will not play against Missouri at all, and it's going to be tough. You know, it sounds like he's going to be more another seven days down the line. We're really going to struggle with the height advantage of Missouri tomorrow night, gentlemen. Nick Weiler-Babb is going to have to come in and play his butt off. Obviously, Solomon Young is going to be tested as well. Porter has been referenced as the, you know, Kevin Durant of college basketball. This gentleman's already being, you know, kind of portrayed as someone that good. So it's scary to think about defensively who's going to come out and be able to stop him tomorrow night.
So we're talking right now with Cody Peck. It's bcdivide.com, Black and Cardinal Divide for the Hawkeyes and the Cyclones, taking a look at the Cyclone perspective. Cody, as you go through and you look at the squad this year, our conversations presented by Murphy Tower Service, I want to get your perspective just where your expectation level is for the basketball team. This is rebuilding, hope for the future. If you still think this is can be an NCAA tournament team, as we get ready to kick off the season, where are you?
You know, Trent, I'm optimistic, but cautiously optimistic. I think we have to be realist when it comes to this basketball team and with their lack of experience. As an Iowa State fan base, you know, we're used to the Niang, Monte Morris, you know, the experience level where these guys come in and they played there, the road games. They've been tested in the Big 12, and that's something that's polar opposite of this year's team. So I like to be a realist, Trent, and so I'm thinking more along the lines of a 5-7 win team in the Big 12. If we could get to 7 wins in the Big 12, I would be astonished. I would be pumped, because that would be more than likely enough to put them over the edge to you know, kind of sneak into the NCAA tournament with a win or two in the Big 12 tournament. So, but just to be you know, cautiously optimistic, Trent, I'm thinking more along the lines of a 5-7 win team in the Big 12.
Interesting that would where you would have it. You still have a lot of fans that believe this could be an NCAA team. So you don't think that's in the cards for this season?
I don't know, Jimmy. You know, I think a lot of you know, Iowa State basketball's fan base has been so spoiled lately, and I say that as a diehard Iowa State basketball fan. I really do. I've been very thankful for what's taken place with this basketball program throughout the years, and but I think this is the year we kind of take a step back. And you know, here in a couple months, Trent and Jimmy, I would love to be able to say that I was wrong when it comes to this basketball team, and let's hope that's the case.
Going to be a fun year as Iowa State. The future appears very bright. The recruiting class in the books and recruiting class with some top-end talent. Got to be excited about the future.
Oh, absolutely, man. The top 20 recruiting class, as you mentioned, this is bringing in a lot of good kids. You know, that pipeline from Chicago, Steve Prohm has opened up. It's awesome, man. There's some good guys coming in, and I'm excited the most probably for Tyrese Halliburton. Just watching some of his film last night, the kid is—he's a baller, man. So it'll be fun here as we go throughout the season to kind of follow some of these recruits that are coming in, see how they finish up their high school careers, and look forward to the future of Cyclone basketball.
Cody Peck is our guest. Look, before we let you go, I just have another kind of a general Big 12 basketball question. A lot of people now think that if there was a time that Kansas would be unseated as the perennial champion, this might be the year just because of the talent that is on that team, and it's kind of mix and match right now. Is it TCU? Is it Texas? Is it West Virginia? If you had to pick a team in Big 12 Hoopville, which team would it that would be able to win the regular season title and unseat the Jayhawks?
Well, obviously, Jim, you know, Kansas is always going to be the favorite coming in just because of their history. But if I had to pick one team, it would either be, you know, I don't know. I would say West Virginia. West Virginia returns a ton of experience. The other team to keep your eye on this year, Jimmy, is a team that's had great success lately and have had some really good success in the Big 12 basketball tournament down in Kansas City, and that's Baylor. So if there's going to be a team to knock off KU this year come Big 12 conference, it's either going to be West Virginia or Baylor.
Good stuff for Conversations presented by Murphy Tower Service. Currently taking applications for their apprenticeship program at murphytower.com. Good stuff as always, Cody. BCDivide.com is the website. Thanks for joining us today.
All right, you gentlemen, have a good rest of your day.
Awesome stuff there. Appreciate that. As always, Jimmy B. And we'll go from some Cyclone conversation on the other side. We'll bring in Ken Silverstein, get back into the Big Ten in a huge weekend, a big one for the Big 12. They're all big at this time of the year, and boy, college football, they backloaded this schedule better than the crap that the NFL's dishing up every week.
Well, it is. It's going to be a lot of fun this weekend. There are monster games, and look, I don't even know, Trent, if I'll get away from a TV. I'm serious. I might have to go out and buy a couple of screens and just put them in front of me. I know that you're set up in the man cave. You've got a couple down there. I use the remote and fly through about 3 to 4 games, but there are so many good games on, and they're going to be on at similar times as well. So I got to come up with some sort of solution. Oh, wait, I've got it. You can always go to a refreshment stand, and there are probably about 5 or 6 different games on all at the same time. Okay, I'm good, Trent. Don't worry about me.
Yeah, you got to figure it out. No surprise, Brinson going to the bar. We'll come back with more on the other side. Ken Silverstein, a look at the Big Ten. And we'll see what Ken has to say about his home state team, the Ohio State Buckeyes, after that loss to Iowa. All coming up next here as we take you up until 6 o'clock. It's Jimmy B and TC.
All right, everybody, welcome back. We roll to the top of the hour. Ken Silverstein, our Big Ten Conference insider, is with us right now. Kenny, I'm just real curious here. Why does Ohio State suck so bad?
I got to tell you something. I've been doing this from the Big Ten perspective for 19 years, and I am still... Look, Iowa deserves all the credit in the world. I mean, I could do hours on this. The coaching staff, that's as good a game plan as I have ever seen against Ohio State. So from Kirk on down, the offensive coaches, they were not one step ahead. They were like 5 steps ahead. That is as good a game plan as I have ever seen against Ohio State. When you beat a team of that type of talent with those kind of recruiting classes, and you don't beat them by a fluke, you manhandle them. And there may be reasons for it. You know, they were looking ahead for Michigan State. They were still, you know, reaping the benefits of beating Penn State. Yeah, okay, fine. But the bottom line is they got destroyed, okay? And folks in these parts do not cotton to that a whole bunch. They don't like losing. They're not used to losing. This is a blue blood program going back to Woody Hayes all the way through Tressel to Urban Meyer. And when you look at 68-8 for Meyer now with, what, one, two, three games to go in the regular season, and you look at the eight losses and you see that four of them are in conference and two are to Michigan State. One is to Penn State on a fluky play and one is to Iowa. I got to tell you, from an Ohio State perspective, they look at a schedule, and this is going to sound very snobbish, but it is what it is. And Michigan looks at it the same way, and so does Penn State. The big boys look at it this way. And it's not going to change unless somebody in the West outside of Wisconsin becomes a perennial power for, we're talking a long time. Okay, we're not talking about 1 year and then don't do nothing for three or four years and then come back and then, you know, don't do nothing for a couple of years. The big boys look at the Iowas, the Northwesterns, and Nebraskas right now. They don't take them seriously. They just don't. But you know what? Maybe they should, at least last Saturday. That was an embarrassment for Ohio State, and they have been, oh, my goodness. Oh, it's been a long week for the boys in Columbus. The media has been all over. Because, again, this is different than other programs. 8-4, 9-3, 10-2 is not acceptable. It is not. It is at Iowa. Okay, nothing. You know, this is not a knock on the Iowa program. They blew out a very good Ohio State team, and it wasn't even close. It wasn't even close. It was laughable. Okay, I mean, they were so far ahead of them offensively, defensively. Quarterback play was tremendous from Iowa. I don't know if he can play better than that. Okay, I mean, that's how good he was. Tight end play was fabulous. It was off the charts. Running game was good. I've seen them better, but it was still really, really good. I mean, there was not one misstep offensively, defensively, special teams. It was nearly, if he dropped the word nearly, it was a perfect executed game plan. 26 letters in the alphabet. They hit all 26 letters. But the bottom line is these blue bloods, and I'm going to put Michigan in there because they are blue blood. I'm going to put Penn State in there because they are blue blood. I'm going to put Ohio State in there. They are definitely a blue blood. They do not look at these other schools. And you know what? They got torched this time. And maybe, just maybe, they will now learn a lesson that you can't go into Kinnick and just think, hey, you know, we got five stars and four stars. We got eight guys that are going to be drafted in the NFL next year, maybe up to 10. We got three guys that are going to be first-round draft picks this year in Denzel Ward, Draymond Jones, and Sam Hubbard. They all played last week against Iowa, so it wasn't like they were missing in action, and yet they were missing in action. It was embarrassing. And they have taken, oh, my goodness, they have taken a beating in the media here. This is the, now we've talked about this before, this is a state with major markets in Columbus, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Dayton, Youngstown, Toledo, and everywhere in between. And just statewide, it has been, oh, my goodness. They'll accept, and I'll close with this here on this answer. They'll accept. This fan base, they don't like it, but they'll accept losing to Clemson because, one, it was in the Final Four. Two, Clemson beat Alabama for a national title. They will accept that loss. They don't like it, and they'll bitch and moan with the best of them, but they'll accept it. They will not accept. They do not cotton the idea of losing to a program like Iowa. They just don't. And you can squawk for hours and say that's wrong and misguided. No, the resume, not when you're a blue blood, not when you got 800-plus wins as a program and your head coach is 68-8 right now and has won three national titles, one here and two in Gatorland, better known as Gainesville. No, they don't. But you know what? That was a beating. That was a flat-out, let's take you to the back of the barn and just kick your backside all the way to area code 614. That's what it was. You know, this wasn't, you know, he's lost, Urban Meyer's lost four conference games since he's been in Columbus. He lost one on a blocked field goal to Penn State. Fluky play.
Mm-hmm.
He lost one to Michigan State on a late field goal by Michael Geiger that made it by maybe a foot, maybe, just barely squeezed it in 2000, and 15. So that's two of the four losses. The third loss was to Michigan State in the conference championship game in Indianapolis, where the score is a little bit misleading, where there was a late touchdown, I want to say by Le'Veon Bell. I think that's who scored the touchdown, if my memory serves me correctly. I was there. You would think I'd remember that game. I think it was Bell who scored. So that was loss three. So all those games were either a last-second fluky play or maybe a little bit misleading. That wasn't misleading Saturday. That was a torch job. That's what that was. So to round out the answer, that was as good a game plan offensively, defensively. I don't know, special teams were a major factor in the game particularly, but offensively and defensively, I would, I tell you what, if I was the AD, if I was the Board of Regents, if I were the boosters, I'd be giving those assistant coaches, and Kirk don't need the money. He's got so many years on his deal. He don't need the cash. But the assistants always need another dollar. For just that W, for that game plan, they all deserve a raise. Big time.
Well, nice victory for Iowa. The narrative changes, though, for the Big Ten, Ken, as the conversation now is about outside of an undefeated Wisconsin. Yeah, there's some people out there that think undefeated Wisconsin wouldn't get in. It's completely laughable. But that aside, that the Big Ten, short of that, is out of the college football playoff. Do you believe that, or could there be Jimmy B's favorite thing, chaos, and the Big Ten could jump back in?
Yeah, well, chaos is good because it's entertaining, but I wouldn't bet on it. Look, I still think the East is the best conference right now and has been for the last year or so. You have four teams in no particular order, Michigan State, Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State, that are really, really good. No, are they perfect? No, none of them are perfect. They all have losses, but they are really good, and they're going to be good for many, many, many years to come. We've talked about it until we're blue in the face, that somebody, one or more teams in the West, have to challenge Wisconsin, not only for 1 year, but consistently. I need a 3-, 4-, 5-year run where somebody, single or plural, is going to make a run at them. And I always got the next chance at least for one game. And I'll tell you what, with their wide receiver going down with an injury, we're talking about Wisconsin here. You know, guys, I always go with quarterback play. If everything is equal, now granted, it's a road game for Iowa. Okay, it makes it more difficult. There may be a little bit of a hangover after a huge win against Ohio State. Challenge for Kirk and the coaching staff to say, hey, that's old news. You know, this is a very important game. We need to win this game. Forget the Buckeyes. We don't see them for 1,000-plus days. They don't play Ohio State until 2020, October 10th, to be exact. Mark it down on your calendar. It'll be in Columbus. It'll be a hell of a game. It's 1,000-some days away, if my math is close. I think it's more than 1,000 off the top of my head. Look, if everything is equal, and it's not, but if it's pretty close, quarterback play usually wins out. And right now, and I can only go off the last game I saw, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt who's got the better quarterback, okay? There is no doubt about it, okay? And Stanley is better than anything Wisconsin's going to roll out of QB, okay? And if they can move him off the pocket, which I think they can, I think Iowa's got a really good shot. Now, I don't know if they can play a perfect game, because that was a perfect game, if you think of it as 27 outs in baseball. That was a perfect game by Iowa. I don't see that happening again, but I think they can win. I think Iowa can win, and I think you'll know early if there's a hangover. If there is no hangover, then I think they got a shot. You got to stop the young running back, obviously, in Taylor. Mm-hmm. He's a stud. But if you play eight men in the box, and they're so identical. See, the thing is, they're mirror images of each other. They want to go to the tight end. They want to run the ball. They want to play action. They want to play defense. Yeah, the defensive theories are a little bit different, obviously. But until I see Iowa lose another game, last week convinced me I'm going to pick them over Wisconsin. And if they do win, okay, you can forget about it, okay? Nobody is representing, obviously, the Big Ten. And Delaney and the boys are not going to be happy about it. But you know what? Pardon the expression, tough noogies. That's just the way it is.
It is the way it is, and you know, they were all in on four teams. I'm of the belief, Ken, that 8 would be perfect. But with the contracts for television, things of that nature, they have so much money wrapped up in 4, we're not going to see that changing. But I'm hoping eventually that they would make it 8, and that would be perfect for me. The thing that I'm curious about...
Yeah, I think you could give 1 and 2 a bye. I mean, there's different ways you could
yeah,
place that
yes,
tie.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
You know, so, I mean, you can reward teams for the higher seeds. Yeah, I agree with you. I think 8 would be tremendous, but you're 1,000% correct. The TV contract's going to stymie it until the TV deal comes to an end. I think what Jim is getting at also, and I agree with him, is it's not like there are 4 teams and then you, like, drop off the, you know, the earth, okay? I mean, you fall
exactly.
off the planet.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Team 5, whoever that's going to be, is still a really good team. And so is 6, 7, and 8. And this is not... And this is what I think is the problem with this theory, is not with Jim's theory of going to 8, but just those who are against the expanded field. This is not like baseball or the NBA or the NHL, where it's a best of 3, 5, or let's say 7, okay? This is a one game. What, is someone telling me that the 8 seed, we'll say for argument's sake, let's say it's TCU, on one given day can't beat a number 1? Yeah, they can. They probably won't, but they can. I mean, it's not like they're playing, like Alabama's playing Valdosta State here. They would be playing, in my example, number 8 TCU or whomever might be number 8. So
sure.
There's an argument by some, not by Jim or anyone else at this point, but some that I've heard who say, well, there'll be a drop-off at 5, 6, 7, 8. No, there's no. It's not a best of 3, 5, or 7. You got to win one game. And anybody in one game, if you're at that level, has more than a puncher's chance. So... you know, lessen the non-conference games and increase it to 8, and we're all giddy and ecstatic about more good to great games than watching, I don't know, I'll pick any big contender, let's say Penn State playing, I don't know, Valdosta State or playing, pick somebody that's not very good most years, Akron, who they played earlier this year. Come on, it's a payday for Akron or anyone like that. You build your stats, but it doesn't mean anything. So 8 would be tremendous.
So, Ken, we're getting ready to kick off college basketball season tomorrow as the Big Ten, some teams will be taking the hardwood. We know Michigan State is the runaway favorite here. Makes complete sense. Who do you like, though, in that second spot? A lot of choices there. Who'd be the number 2 team right now in your power rankings?
Wow, that's a really good question because Michigan State is so good. Oh, there's the love affair with Tom Izzo sprouting on the air. Oh, my goodness, it's going to be a lot of love my way to Tom Izzo this year. They're Final Four bound. They're that good. And unless Bridges or anybody else, God forbid, goes down, and obviously we're not wishing for anything like that to occur, you can pretty much rubber stamp that puppy. They're that good. Who would be number 2? Wow. Most years, you would look at a blue blood like in Indiana and say IU because, you know, they've been a major power, you know, all the way back to the 60s, 70s, and onwards, particularly during the Bobby Knight era. But with a new coach, can't say that at this point. Wisconsin's had a hell of a run over the last few years.
I'm going Minnesota.
Yeah, that seems to be the trendy pick. I'm still not... I mean, he's done a nice job. He's recruited some athletes. I may be a little bit behind you, Jim, and everybody else, and maybe I want to see him do it for another year. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but Northwestern might be in the mix at number 2. That might be a little bit of a reach, but I don't think it's totally whack, considering they have a lot of guys coming back. They have the NCAA berth in their back pocket. And Coach Collins does a nice job. I'll be curious to see. They're going to be playing in a new building this season because Welsh Ryan is being, and boy, does it need it, improved. That place is a dump. So they're going to be playing cross town at the, well, I think it's called the Allstate Center, if I'm not mistaken, near O'Hare Airport, if you're wondering where that other arena is. And so they're going to play their home games there. That might be a little funky. But, yeah, I could see Minnesota, Northwestern. I like Coach Painter. I think Purdue does a nice job with what Purdue has got. But I'd say right now, yeah, I agree with you. Minnesota, at two. Do you buy a Northwestern that high, guys, or am I a little too lofty with them?
No, I think you can come up with a fair argument. I'm with you. Jim's likes Minnesota. You like Northwestern. I like Purdue. And I think that's why it's a compelling question, because we got all that Michigan State there. I think Maryland will be a tournament team. I don't think number two. Michigan will be up there. We know about Iowa and our thoughts about that. But it's going to be a fun, you know, that 2 through 8 mix is probably going to be more entertaining than it will be what's going to be number one. It'll be what happens in the Big Ten tournament and who's going to be that team that sneaks up and gets a 3 seed in the tournament. That's probably more the race to be watching this year.
Yeah, and it might be a difference if somebody somehow could beat a Michigan State. That might be the difference of, you know, with that type of upset, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Because it will be an upset, even if, a Northwestern or a Minnesota or anyone further down the line would beat them in conference play. That might be the difference in regards to seeding, obviously, for the Big Ten and their standings, and then obviously, for the tournament itself. Obviously, the tourney this year is, in New York City at Madison Square Garden this year. It's, a week earlier, guys? We've talked about that in the past and whether or not that's good or bad. We have new blood. I mentioned Coach Miller, obviously, at IU, Coach Holtman at Ohio State, Coach Underwood at Illinois. I think I got everybody. So there's new blood in the conference in regards to hoop, and I don't think that's a bad thing. We have the scandal continuing to grow in college hoops in general, so we'll see where that goes throughout the rest of the 17-18 season. So, there's a lot to look at and a lot to, ponder. But, everyone's chasing Michigan State in. Will it be a runaway? I don't know. I guess it could be. I mean, they have the talent to run away with it, but something tells me on a cold February night somewhere, maybe more than once, somebody will play a really lights-out game and beat Michigan State. So they're not going to go perfect in the conference. They'll probably lose a couple, but they'll win unless something just totally whack occurs that would derail Izzo and the boys from winning another Big Ten, at least regular season tournament, or conference tournament, I should say, or conference title, I should say.
Kenny, it's always good when we catch up with you, pal. Have a great weekend. Enjoy all the football this weekend.
Yeah, only 3 weeks to go, guys. It's really flown by.
It has. Thank you. There you go. Ken Silverstein.
Talk to you next week.
You got it. Here on the Big Talker 1700. So, Trent, are we, almost out of time here?
Yeah, we're done. It is over, Jimmy B. Thursday night, got some football. The NFL, Seattle, Arizona, does that do anything for you?
I got a little interest in it. I like watching Russell Wilson play.
Sure.
Yeah, he's always entertaining. It's my hometown, but I never really fancied myself as a Seahawk fan. But
well, they didn't come until you were, 40, so...
So anyway, now I'm going to pay attention to that tonight. Heck yeah.
You glossed right over that one.
I let it fly by. Yeah, I let it go.
There's three college games. The headliner, I guess, would be North Carolina-Pittsburgh, but both those teams are terrible this year.
Yes. And
not a whole lot there. Is there anything in your crappy NBA to get excited about?
Cleveland-Houston. I'm going to watch that. Mm. So you get LeBron matched up with the beard, fear the beard.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oklahoma, Denver. I want to see Jokic. I want to see him. I've seen highlights and things, but I haven't seen a lot of a game. They'll be on TNT tonight. So I will probably keep an eye on that later this evening. I believe that's a late game on TNT. So I guess I do have a little bit of excitement for the crappy NBA. Tomorrow we won't have to worry about that, though. It'll be a football Friday, and we'll have you covered until 6 o'clock here with Jimmy B and TC. And then it'll be the state tournament and the semifinals at the Unidome Ankeny Centennial facing off against Dowling Catholic. We'll have the call. And, Jim, it'll be over on FM 98.3 for people that missed it. We got you and I basketball tomorrow. With the Panthers playing, that means that we will be over on 98.3. So if you're looking for Ankeny Centennial Dowling tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, that's where you'll find me.
On the vibe, man. You fit perfect on the vibe. You're kind of a vibe kind of guy.
That's my kind
old
of
old school rapper?
That's my tunes. Yeah. That is my stuff.
Yeah, I know.
So maybe afterwards I'll do a little DJing. What do you think?
This is how we do it.
No, not that garbage.
Get out of here.
Go watch your home team Seahawks.
Okay,
right?
I will. All right, bye.
We'll be back tomorrow starting at noon with the Ken Miller Show with myself, Trent Condon, and then 4 until 6 with Jimmy B and TC. Have a good night, everybody. We have the call as well. Westwood One coverage coming up in just a little bit. Thursday Night Football, all here on 1700.